I'm Dave Williams, you're listening to ACB Radio's Main Menu, a weekly look at technology from a blindness and low vision perspective. We're joined on the line by Jerry Hallerton from New York, who has very kindly recorded a demonstration of the new Apple Mac operating system, which includes some screen reading capability. And following this interview, you will hear that. But I just wanted to talk to Jerry first. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to Main Menu. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Dave. It's my pleasure to be a part of it.
Do you want to just tell us, where did your interest in the Mac comes from? Because I think for many blind users, you know, the PC really has been the only option for many years, and a lot of us really haven't considered the Mac. And there will be some pros and cons with this development from Apple, and we can perhaps talk about some of those in a little while. But right. I understand that you run a recording studio in New York. You're a blind artist. I'm thinking Pro Tools. Is that your motivation for going toward the Mac?
Yes. Actually, it wasn't my motivation for going to the Mac side. I always was a Mac user, even before I got into digital audio recording. I first started using a Macintosh back in 1989. At the time, I did have some usable vision, so I used CloseView, which was a built-in screen magnifier. Without it, I would not have been able to use a Macintosh computer. And around that time, 89, I became a beta tester for Berkeley Systems, which eventually became ALVA Access Group. And so I was beta testing Outspoken, the very first version at that time. I didn't use the screen reader for a couple of years because I did rely on the vision that I did have at the time. But as time went on, it became more and more evident that a screen reader was so much more efficient to use for me as my sight deteriorated.
Okay.
So I had been using a Macintosh for several years before I started using Pro Tools. I did run an analog recording system with a 1-inch 16-track machine, and computers weren't even an issue at that time.
Right. I don't want to spend too much sort of laboring this, because really the focus is to talk about voiceover and what's going on with that. But just for people listening, to clarify, Pro Tools is a kind of industry standard package for working with audio. I believe there is a version now for the PC, but primarily it runs on the Mac.
It is available on Windows, they really do support the Macintosh because it really originated as a Macintosh program. And for a couple of years there, of course, there are a lot of blind Pro Tools users. For a number of years, we've been stuck on the previous operating system, OS 9. And while it works fine, you know how many blind people are still running Windows 98. There's nothing wrong with it. But, of course, all of my sighted colleagues are all using OS 10 now. And So that was one of the things that kind of that was getting us a little bit nervous about when we were going to have access to OS 10.
So you mentioned in the early days of using the Mac that you had a screen magnifier product there, and also you referred to Outspoken. Do we know what became of those products?
Well, Outspoken and Enlarge from ALVA were discontinued when OS 10 came out. I don't know exactly what the reasoning was. But rumor has it that as far as the screen reader was concerned, this particular screen reader, VoiceOver, is very closely tied to the core, the kernel of the system. And so rumor has it that Apple was really trying to keep that code very close to their vest, if you will.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk then about VoiceOver. VoiceOver isn't a screen reader in the conventional sense, because it is part of the the operating system. It's built right in there, in the same way that something like Narrator is built into to Windows. It comes with OS X. Is it 10.4?
It is 10.4. Tiger is version 10.4 of OS X.
Okay, and many of our listeners who are tuned into to Main Menu, most of our listeners are Windows users, and we do have some Linux users as well. Mm-hmm. And those people, they'll be coming to the Mac as newbies, really. The Mac up until now, with the with a couple of notable exceptions we mentioned, Outspoken, has really been for many a closed door, unless you want to go back to the days of the Apple IIe. So why should people consider Mac seriously as an alternative?
I'm perhaps not the best person in the world to sort of give good reasons for switching in this case. I mean, for the sighted world, the idea of switching to a Mac, I mean, everybody will tell you, well, it's just a more stable system. Things with Macintosh just simply work. There is no spyware. There are far fewer instances of any type of viruses happening. The applications that run on the Macintosh platform are very desirable, like Pro Tools and stuff like that. For the blindness community, I would say it's a more difficult question because of the accessibility. And, you know, I'm a JAWS user. I have a Windows machine. The reason why I started using Windows Machine was because Outspoken really lacked in terms of its functionality regarding email and web browsing. And if a person is using JAWS or WindowEyes and they're completely satisfied with the Windows operating system in terms of email and web browsing and some word processing, I don't think there's a really huge, compelling reason to switch over. I think that there are a couple of things that make VoiceOver being part of the system really revolutionary in terms of the fact that for those people who really find it a little bit of a stretch to go out and buy a $1,000 or $1,500 computer, and then on top of that spend anywhere from $800 to $1,000 for a screen reader. I think to be able to have the screen reader built right into a system where if you go out and buy a Mac Mini, essentially for about $499, you have a screen reader built into it. I think that's just a revolutionary concept. Mm. Also, the fact that the system does not have to be dummied down in any way. I mean, with Windows XP and JAWS, for example, you have to spend quite a bit of time just getting the system to a point where JAWS is able to work with it effectively. With the Macintosh in any configuration, anywhere, you can walk up to it, of course, running 10.4, you can walk up to it and turn VoiceOver on. Since it is part of the system, the stability is unmatched. I mean, you can't crash VoiceOver.
You've just given somebody a challenge there.
Well, put it this way. I think that if it gets to a point where VoiceOver has any type of problem with something, it'll simply relaunch itself. That's a fact. You won't have a system where you won't have a situation where the screen reader stops working and now your system is frozen. There are differences in terms of the platform itself.
Yes.
I mean, for some people,
perhaps not as radical a differences as one might think. In listening to the demonstration coming up here shortly, you use a lot of Windows terminology because that is familiar, but it seems to me that conceptually the idea of having a focus, the idea of using menus, all of that is already familiar to people.
Yes, and I think that and I think that in that in the demonstration that you will hear, I did try to relate it in terms of Windows terminology, and in some cases, of course, the terms are the same, but I just wanted to. Certainly knowing that the majority of the ACB radio listeners are Windows users, I wanted to make it sort of clear that you know, you can hit tab to get to controls, simple up, down, left, right arrows would work in a menu and stuff like that. So
I mentioned Microsoft's Narrator earlier on, which was introduced with Windows 2000 as a basic text-to-speech product that allows a blind person, you know, very rudimentary access to the start menu and to Windows Explorer and the control panel and to Notepad and various basic Windows applications. You wouldn't want to browse the web with Narrator, certainly, but you can get around with it. Now, that was introduced in 2000, and as far as I can tell, over the last 5 years, half decade, really, Narrator hasn't evolved at all. Do you get a sense from Apple as to what resources and how committed they are to VoiceOver? Is this something that's here for the long haul, I guess, is the question?
I think it is. You know, probably there would be people out there who would question Apple's intentions. There are certainly those who feel, I'm sure, that Apple is doing this to avoid a lawsuit. Apple certainly is has a very strong presence in the school system, in both in the sort of K through 12 and then, you know, in high school and stuff. So there are certainly those people who think, ah, well, they're just doing it to, you know, to avoid any type of legal problems. And yet others strongly believe that Apple just does it to be cutting edge. And truly, their products have always historically been cutting edge and ahead of the curve. So I think that, you know, Apple did see an opportunity to design something that they felt they could make the best in its class. Well, in this case, of course, I don't even know if that's a fair thing to say in terms of class, because there isn't anything really like this. There are screen reading programs that run on a system such as Windows, but in this case, there hasn't been a screen reader as part of the OS itself.
Is the manufacturer of the operating system the best person to write the access tools for that operating system? Clearly, you've identified some of the advantages and talked about the stability, obviously being a key advantage, VoiceOver being built right into the Mac, but at the moment, as you say, there isn't really anything in terms of competition there, and so I guess that's why I asked you the question about the development, and I mean, hopefully it won't stagnate. Hopefully the development will be ongoing, but where does the impetus for that come from if there is no competition?
Well, I think that Apple's approach was, it was definitely a, I think that Apple has made a decision about how this should work. Now, whether it's the right decision or not, I'm not exactly sure yet, and really only time will tell, but they've basically, as far as I see it, they've made the decision to offer access to any control or anything within any application as long as the developer of that program has followed some basic rules. Now, I know this sounds like MSAA, and some people would say, oh, well, that's just never going to work. I don't know if it's a fair comparison. I don't know too much about programming. I'm not a programmer myself. But there are those who believe that Cocoa, which is the native language for OS X, is very easy to write for, and accessibility is essentially built in if you use Cocoa to write the application. Now, a case where accessibility might be a problem, let's say, even if a program is written in Cocoa, is, let's say, in a situation where you're supposed to drag something from the desktop to the open applications window, to a particular spot on that window. Now, that for VoiceOver is not an easy task. I don't even know if it's really possible, actually. And so one of Apple's guidelines is
even in Windows, when you have to drag and drop, it can be a bit of a challenge. I mean, yeah, the screen readers have rudimentary support, but if you need to place something in at a certain point on your start menu or on your taskbar or on the desktop or whatever to make something happen, that can be a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. And Apple has put forth in their guidelines the idea that if something can only be done with a mouse, there should be at least an option for a keyboard shortcut. Now, again, this is something that we'll see how well this is all implemented. I mean, there are third-party developers, as you know, who are very open to discussing, you know, accessibility and implementing things such as this. And there are developers who just are not very responsive, or they say that stretches our resources too thin. Mm. It remains to be seen. Certainly, one of the leading applications on the Mac side, as you mentioned, Pro Tools earlier, DigiDesign, the manufacturers of Pro Tools, have set a precedent, at least for themselves, in terms of accessibility. They actually changed part of their code when it was discovered by one of the outspoken users, Rick Boggs, that there was a conflict between Outspoken and Pro Tools. And so DigiDesign and Alva got together, and Digi actually changed some of their code. So I'd like to think that they would be open to doing that again if necessary. Because with Pro Tools, the new version, which is beginning beta testing right now, it is written as a native Cocoa application. So chances are accessibility will be quite good. So if it's a matter of tweaking a couple of things, I think that DigiDesign will be open to doing that. Well, but time will tell.
Do you think DigiDesign, do you think they're typical of developers for the Mac?
I really don't know. I think DigiDesign tends to be on the larger side as far as developers go on the Macintosh side. I've heard people say that on the Macintosh side of things, you tend to have slightly smaller companies writing programs for the Macintosh side. I don't know how true that is. It's not something that I follow very closely. There are some programmers I know who do follow these things a little bit more. And again, there are two sides to this. It's really difficult to say what the case is, and I don't think there are too many numbers to support, you know, claims like that.
Now, everyone listening to this program aspires to be an audio engineer. So, Jerry, can you identify for us some of the other key applications that may make the Mac appealing for some?
Well, certainly on the Mac side, it's very, very strong in terms of multimedia stuff like Final Cut Pro, Logic and Logic Pro. Of course, that's an audio application. GarageBand, of course, it's another application, a very simple music application that makes it very popular among Mac users. You have, of course, the all kinds of print layout programs, Quark Express and Adobe Illustrator. All of these were Macintosh programs first before they were ever ported over to the Windows side.
Of course, presumably you have web processing and emailing and web browsing software there.
Yes, and of course there are Microsoft products for the Macintosh, and those have always traditionally been pretty strong. Of course, over the last number of years, Apple has developed their line of professional applications, and they certainly have suites of programs like my work. That includes a very full functioning word processor and database and spreadsheet and all that kind of stuff.
Just returning to a point we were discussing a little earlier, do you think Apple, you talked about perhaps there's some cynicism out there that maybe Apple have done this to avoid a lawsuit, but conceivably, Apple could have avoided a lawsuit by putting in the infrastructure for accessibility rather than going the whole hog. And it seems to me that they have gone the whole hog with this. Listening to your demonstration, which people will get to shortly, this isn't a half baked solution. This seems to be a fairly comprehensive solution, including the synthesizer. Now, can you tell us a bit about that? Because that will be the first thing I think that'll strike people. Oh my goodness, that synthesizer. Now, you know, synthetic speech always divides opinion.
Yes.
You know, it's synthetic speech is one of the most subjective things known to humankind.
Sure.
Certainly by people.
Absolutely. And you'll have people, again, that'll have very, very strong feelings on both sides. And, Apple has had these, what they call Apple Talk Pro voices, Apple Talk and Apple Talk Pro voice. Oh, I'm sorry, Mac and Talk. That's what they call it, Mac and Talk and Mac and Talk Pro voices, for years and years. And it seems that many of the voices haven't changed one bit. And I think that, I'm used to those voices. It's what I've been hearing for years and years. I'm not crazy about the voices, and a lot of people are turned off by some of the Apple voices. But as I mentioned later on in the demonstration, there is a company by the name of Kepstral. That's Kepstral. And I'm not sure if they're in New Zealand or whether they're Australia. I think they're New Zealand. They make some excellent voices for OS X. They have about 25 different voices. And the voices, to purchase these voices, I think they cost about $25 US each. So they're not terribly expensive. And it's certainly possible to use those with VoiceOver. I think Apple certainly has left the door open for that possibility of companies Bell Labs and stuff like that, AT&T, to develop voices for OS X.
Because that's an important point for many.
I
know people that now in Windows you can pretty much have any voice with any screen reader because of the situation with Sappy.
Yes.
And I'm aware of people that up until that really came along, that they pretty much stuck with the screen reader that they have because they like the voice, you know. And
yes.
And for some people, that's just really very important, and you can't underestimate
yes.
that.
Yes, it is. And I think another thing that will mean a lot to people is the support for Braille displays and stuff. Currently, right now, as I understand it, there's no support for any sort of Braille output, but it is something that Apple is going to be working on for the future, as I understand it. And again, I don't represent Apple. I have no connection to them in any way. I'm just an end user.
Right.
But that is something that's very important to people. And another thing that has to be put into perspective is that JAWS, Freedom Scientific, just celebrated, 10 years of JAWS being
That's
out
right,
there?
Yeah.
I mean, and VoiceOver is not even 2 weeks old yet, at this point.
But certainly early doors.
Yeah, and it really will take some time for it to mature, but where it's at right now is really extraordinary, and I think that there's a lot of room for growth. However, we are starting from a fairly full functioning screen reader. I think that it's just going to be a matter of time before we see what the accessibility is going to be like for third-party applications, how developers are going to take to VoiceOver, whether they're going to pay attention to it. Of course, developers want their products to be compatible with an operating system, and I think that we're going to see some good results from this endeavor on Apple's part. I'm excited about it, and I think that, you know, we'll all keep a close eye on it.
Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you wanted to mention with respect to VoiceOver?
Right now, we're in the process of developing a website for the Blind Macintosh Users Group. That's in the process. But currently, there is an email list for those interested in following the development of VoiceOver, and if anybody has questions, they can certainly join the email list. The website for this group, it's macvisionaries.com. So that's macvisionaries.com. And on the website, you can find information on how to join the list. I think there's a little form to fill out. And there will be tutorials featured on that list. I know that they're kind of trying to get that all together at this point, but it's worth visiting if you're interested in learning a little bit more about it and following the development.
Yeah, because I expect there'll probably be too many people out there that they might have had one runtime error too many, and they may be they may be interested in just sort of dipping their toe in the water and just maybe they can borrow a PowerBook or an iBook or whatever from a friend or something, or they get access to a Mac at work or something. They might want to just give this a try, just to see what's out there.
Yes, it's not a huge investment, but yeah, it's not easy for people to just go out and buy a $500 computer or even $1,000. I mean, of course, Macintosh, you can spend several thousand dollars to buy a system. It's funny, just recently I heard somebody mention the difference between, Windows and Macintosh users, and it was something to the effect that Macintosh users tend to really love their computers, whereas Windows users tend not to love their computers as much, although I have to say that Windows users that I know who are blind computer users really love the accessibility. And, that's the difference. I mean, I think that Windows users using JAWS and WindowEyes, they love the fact that they have access to the internet and email and, many applications. But really when it comes down to it, I hear more complaints about the system itself. Not so many complaints about screen reader or anything like that on the Windows side. Whereas on the Mac side of things, you just have people that just love the system itself and its stability and its performance.
Mm. So speaking for myself, I think in terms of Windows, the thing that I like about Windows are the conventions that are used across applications. So if an application has been well written and if it conforms to Windows conventions and it makes good use of the various controls that are available, I think then, an application can be a joy to use and very easy to get into. Is there a lot of consistency across Mac applications in terms of conventions? And I'm thinking in Windows terms, I will be thinking of things like dialog boxes and tree views and list views and that sort of thing.
Yes, for the most part, things look very much the same from application to application, and keyboard shortcuts, of course, are very standard. Developers tend to use very standard controls like radio buttons and checkboxes. There are a couple of instances where a developer might really stray from some visual convention to make something look quite different. However, again, in this case, with the Cocoa language, apparently it doesn't matter what something looks like. As long as you're defining it as a radio button or a checkbox, you can pretty much look like whatever you want it to look like. There certainly are examples in the OS 9, in the previous operating system, where something was like, say, Native Instruments, for example, makes synthesizers, software synthesizers for the Macintosh. they would use completely bitmapped images, and Outspoken just could not see anything in those windows. I mean, there were instances like that in the OS 9 world. I'm just very curious to see what happens in the OS 10 world. So, of course, I have to get my hands on the new versions of all the applications. So, for me, someone who's been using the Macintosh for years now, I have obviously thousands of dollars invested in software. So, it's gonna take a little while for me to catch up to the new versions.
Well, certainly keep us posted and stay in touch, and we look forward to seeing those demonstrations, and hopefully the Mac Visionaries community will grow and develop and be an important part of the future of this program. We do recognize that, of course, there is life beyond Windows. You know, a few people out there using Linux and now the Mac, and hopefully the more we can democratize this and people can get out there and use different things and use and try, you know, find out what works for them and make informed decisions about what tools they need to operate and function efficiently and get on in the world. And maybe for some, the voiceover technology and the Mac OS X 10.4 will be a revelation. Will open the door for many people. So.
I think it will, and I'm very excited about it, and I know a lot of other people are, and you'll definitely be posted.
Absolutely, Jerry. Was there anything else before we let you go? Did you want to share any contact details, or would you point people to the website? Do you want to give the website address one more time?
Sure. The address is www.macvisionaries.com. That's MacVisionaries.com. And if anybody would like to contact me directly, they could contact me at J Hallaton. That's HALAT like Thomas, Y N like Nancy, at bsharpstudios.com. That's B like boy, E like Edward, SHARPSTUDIOS.com.
Jerry Hallaton, all the way from New York. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dave.